Yes, guys, what's good? You tuned into Mango Masala. My name's Gerns. I'm here with Halima.
Hey, everyone.
And you know what? I'm going to get up and adjust the camera because I can see that it's like got too much on our legs.
Got too much of our legs?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not upright enough.
If I sound a bit flustered, it's because I am. Because we're under a bit of a time constraint today.
Yeah, indeed, guys. Had a very crazy.
Yeah, I don't even know. Is it worth you actually explaining why? Like, can you?
I can't really go into it too much. Yeah. I will tell you privately, Carlos. But Basically, I think we've mentioned on the show that I've moved to London. So I moved to London, and then I moved literally the day that I moved in. The landlord tells me I've got to move out because he's moving to Sri Lanka, which is just typical nonsense landlord behavior. But then stuff happened and I ended up moving out again. So basically I've moved out, moved in, moved out, moved in within the space of 2 weeks, and then had to come to Manchester because I'm changing my car. And now I'm having to go back to London like literally in 45 minutes so that I can be in the office for tomorrow.
And also she's going back on a train.
Yes.
Thankfully we've been able to organise this so that Halima's here in person, which is nice as well.
Yeah.
To be able to do, but we've only got, like, come like Madonna, Justin Timberlake, we've only got 4 minutes to record the episode.
Yeah, literally.
So it's going to be quick fire today, which is hard for us because we like to go into
depth with
everything. But I've got quite a few things I want to discuss as well. So it literally is going to be bam, one after the other.
Come on.
Let's go. First of all, let's start with last week. Obviously, we've had a clip that's gone relatively viral on both TikTok and Instagram, which... it's obviously when our content does well. It's nice to see.
Yeah.
That being said, obviously there've been good and bad feedback on it. And I was saying on the chat, I don't know if you saw that, but the main negative feedback on it has basically been people saying, if you don't know which clip we're talking about the Stormzy one, where we were basically saying Stormzy's new song in which he belittles the criticism he faced after collaborating with McDonald's is disrespectful. Ultimately, that's what we were saying.
Uh-huh.
And there's been a lot of criticism coming our way saying, why are we focusing on this so hard when Stormzy's done so much good before this?
We literally spoke about it on the show.
In the clip as well.
Like, people are so annoying. Like, they're just dealing bad faith.
And they're also saying, oh, we're only coming down so hard on him because he's a black celebrity. Which, I do get that black people and black celebrities are held to a higher standard.
Of course they feel
like they have to prove themselves a lot more.
But it's like, do you know anything about the show? Do you know anything about the show from which the clip you've watched 45 seconds of actually belongs to? Like,
if you want to see videos of us dragging white men as well, you can
have a segment called Bad Vibes Island, and it's literally just white men every single week in, week out.
And the one week that it's Stormzy, it's like,
but I feel that's just very typical of the internet in general, isn't it? We see it all the time when some of our videos get a little bit of traction, and people just kind of, it's like they want you to spoon feed them context, and it's like that's not really our job to do that. Like, we put out content, you've got to do the due diligence, like watch the video, listen to the whole episode.
That's the whole point of clips. It's not going to be you just consume the clips, you're going to be oh, okay, that sounds interesting, let me go and actually listen to the whole thing.
Right.
Also,
or if you can't even be bothered doing that, literally go on our profile, scroll through like at least 3 videos.
Yeah.
You will get a flavor for who we are. We have had a consistent brand from the beginning.
Yeah. I think as well, it's that just because Stormzy has done loads of good stuff before and is a black man, that doesn't mean that we're not going to hold him accountable when he does fuck up, which ultimately has done. And secondly, it's the fact that he has ultimately dug himself this hole.
Right.
Because it wasn't just that, oh, he was silent about Palestine, or even that he just collaborated with McDonald's.
Right.
It's that he's come out, made some kind of half-assed statement in which he doesn't even really apologize, and then a couple of months later, gone and put out a song in which he's poking fun at it. Obviously, people are going to be pissed off about that. That's what we're saying.
To be honest, like, it's even precisely because he has such a history of, again, we're just repeating ourselves, but it is because he's had a history of activism and kind of being very politically outspoken that we have held him to a bit more of a standard, because like he has built his brand and his reputation to some degree around that. And I mean, we can't write out the fact that he has obviously profited from that as well to some degree. There will be kind of, you know, swathes of people who like him, support him precisely because of this kind of, you know, characteristic of his.
Yeah. And finally, all the people commenting, oh, it's just a nugget meal. Yeah, it's not. I'm not even going to, we're not even going to bother.
We can't even dignify that with an answer. Like,
Moving on. Interestingly, another thing that we brought up last week, which I think we didn't like really touch upon that much because it was literally breaking news on the day, it is relating back to the comments that Keir Starmer made last week about these new migration policies. And I think one thing that we didn't touch upon because I missed it because it was literally came out that day was his comment about if we don't act now, these migration policies, we risk becoming an island of strangers. And I think that we would have gone to town on that last week if I had actually noted that down. But I think just so that we do actually address that, I think it's just so clear. You're basically implying that you want to stop bringing so many people into the country to do these roles, because otherwise we're going to have all these people doing these jobs that aren't what it means to be British.
But right. My question, strangers, how is someone who speaks a different language inherently a stranger?
And my question there is like, also, what does it actually mean to, what does that mean to be British? Yeah. Or what does it, what defines a stranger ultimately? Because Britain in its current form is so multicultural, and you've got literally, like we were saying, all these people from all different countries.
Not even in its current form, but like precisely the reason that we have such large scale migration is because of its history. Like Britain has always been in the world, out in the world, you know, like it always, by virtue of being, as we keep referencing on this platform, like till date, the largest empire that the world has ever seen. What do you expect?
Yeah. And now you want to kind of turn around and be like, no, we don't want you anymore. We need to like put more backing behind our own. But it's kind of like,
it's actually very sinister when you think about it, because it's like you're really inciting like a lot of hatred and a lot of like alienation from kind of ethnic minorities who already face this on a very institutional and like social interpersonal level. You're further like othering them, you know, you're like kind of like really kind of using this language of like the self and the other and the insider and the outsider and those who belong and those who don't belong.
There literally isn't a definition as to what it means to be in or out of the club. Right. So then obviously people are going to interpret it themselves, and you know what people are going to interpret that to mean. Right. It's just so bad, like say sinister, because also again, Keir Starmer is just popping up on my Twitter all the time. And it's like he's like, you know, when you can tell people have kind of written these tweets and scheduled them to go out at every interval. Mm. It's like every single tweet is like these threats about migration, and we're not going to stand for this. Mm. We've done this much so far. We're not going to stop there, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like,
he is 100%. And I'm not absolving his intent in all of this. But, you know, there is a big part of it where I do believe that he is responding largely to the kind of increased and burgeoning support for, like, the Reform Party, for example, and the fact that they are quite, you know, far right.
Yeah.
And it's a terrifying reflection on kind of where the political sensibilities of, like, the British body politic at large are heading. Mm.
I think as well, we should probably say, because I realised when I was editing it afterwards, we focused a lot last week on the idea of the logistical failings behind what Keir Starmer's proposing in regards to if you stop bringing all these people in or kick them out, there aren't going to be enough people to do these jobs. But I think we forgot to say as well that even within that, it's not the responsibility of immigrants to prove themselves worthy of actually being able to live here. Like, if you put that into place as well, it's such a dangerous thing, because it's those, like, at what point do they stop becoming worthy? It's always kind of lingering over their head as well. Like,
it's a very, very common experience for a lot of ethnic minorities, where they are kind of always existing with this asterisk over their head, and they're kind of always having to perform their citizenship. You know, it's like a performance. You have to prove it to everyone. It has to be on show. You have to show that you're British. You have to perform your Britishness. Which again, alienation and othering, that's just kind of what it comes down to.
Yeah, it is literally similar to the point people are making in regards to black celebrities having to prove themselves more, in the sense that there's always kind of the asterisks above their head. But the difference is Stormzy is also on a public platform, probably one of the most like
most love.
One of the celebrities with the most love, the most people power behind him.
Right.
I mean, all you need to do is look at the comment section and see
grassroots.
How many
people, like, he has a lot of grassroots power.
See how many people are commenting, like saying, "Oh, it's just the nugget meal." Like, he's got back in there, and so that's, if you haven't already realized, that's where the difference lies. Yeah. Right. Enough about last week. Let's get properly into this week's Bad Vibes Island. Not much to say here, but I just wanted to touch upon it. Eurovision, Israel coming second.
Did they?
Yep, Israel came second.
How are they still allowed to... I mean, what is the point of this conversation, literally?
So Israel came second. The performer was actually someone who was a victim of the October 7th attack. And I don't think the song as well was relating to that, which again is questions over, because the whole thing about Eurovision is that, like, oh, we can't make it political, this, that. Like, you know, they've banned flags that aren't to do with country, the specific countries and all of that. So it's a question over that, as to how that was allowed
they
to happen.
How have they banned Russia and not Israel? I know that we said this last year, but it's like, it's just come up again. Yeah. Because it's like, how have you seen all the controversy and the fallout from last year, and you just thought, yep, gonna do it again. Yep, gonna give them second place. Yep, gonna let them sing a political song.
As bad as it sounds, I feel like this year, the pushback was less.
It was less. Like, it was less. I think that's why they persevered, because they, unfortunately, they kind of know that, like, these things do kind of just blow over, because people, you know, it's very hard for people to keep their foot on it.
To the extent that the reason why this is Bad Vibes Island... I don't know. I get the sense that you're the person that has never watched and never will watch Eurovision.
Never in my life. I know it's only come round because of, like, Twitter. People talk about Twitter. That's the only reason I know that it's
a thing.
Yeah. But I did see someone tweeted, like, England gave
points. Yeah. So yeah, I think the way it works is that each country, like, based on the amount of votes that have come from that country, they give, like, different number of points to the country. So say if the majority of people were to vote for Spain from the UK, then they'd give 12 points to Spain.
Okay, all right, got it.
Below from 12 down to 0, I think that's how it works.
Oh, okay.
But so then the final vote is comprised of both the public vote and also the jury vote, which are the actual judges.
Okay.
So I think first they get the jury results in, and then it's announced how each country has voted, and that's added on. Right. So that's how you figure out where people place. But yeah, our 12 points, which are the maximum amount of points that a country can give, went to Israel.
But that's so surprising to me, because I feel like England at large is that the kind of generally the people are very on the side of the Palestinians.
But then,
maybe not. Then maybe it's just echo
really,
chamber.
It's sad, isn't it? It just goes to show, like, maybe it is echo chamber.
But I don't know. Maybe people just I think there's just a lot of cognitive dissonance when it comes to politics. To be honest, with like just the average person, I think a lot of people. I think feasibly there'll be people who actually turn up to the Palestinian marches, but then also will go and vote Israel because they will see it as like a two-sided thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Or turn up to a Palestinian march and then literally go and have a McDonald's on the way home
kind of thing.
Like, not really understanding the full extent of what it is. So, yeah. And ultimately, it is the fact that them placing so high, again, with a song by a survivor of that attack, just... serves to legitimize what they're doing.
They're doing exactly,
because obviously it's like, oh, look at us, like we are purely the,
the victims.
We are literally the victims. Full stop in all of this. Yeah,
on a stage like that as well, like, you know, it's not right, is it?
Yeah. Besides the point as well, what are Israel, like, and Australia even doing in the competition in the first place?
It's crazy. Why? Like,
I think it's like, if the countries are close allies, they just get invited to it. I mean, that's the way it works.
No, wasn't it just something with the broadcasting
services? That's it. We looked it up, didn't we? Yeah, it was something to do with, like, if they've got British broadcasting thing in there.
Something then, like that, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway... Eurovision, it's sad.
It's shambles.
It's shambles, and it's sad as well, because Eurovision itself is like quite like a camp thing. So it's something that I kind of want to be able to get
more
behind, but I just can't, because it's just like
it's camp. Therefore, you are the logical.
Exactly, it is. You know, I mean, like, not that I would like go to it or celebrate it, but I'd want to look at it, like the commentary on Twitter and be like, "Lol, that's funny."
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just not. Sigh. Bang. Moving on. Brockwell Live. Have you seen what's been going on with that? So Brockwell Live, basically, it's a series of festivals that take place in Brockwell Park, which I think is near Lambeth.
All right.
Do you know where in London that is? I don't know.
South, Lambeth is south.
Right. So, yeah, there's a series of festivals that take place in the park, including the likes of City Splash, which I think is happening this weekend.
All right, yeah,
and
yeah.
also Mighty Hoopla, all of them. And basically, this person called Rebecca Shaman, who's a local resident and a member of the Protect Brockwell Park group, she brought legal action against the council over the use of parts of the park for the festivals. Basically, she wants to prohibit use of the park for more than 28 days of the year without additional planning consent.
Who is she?
She's just a member of this Protect the Park group.
Oh.
And the judge that was overseeing this did find in her favor and found that they shouldn't be using the park for this long. Like, it is detrimental to the park itself, and it's not fair and that sort of thing.
Yeah, cool.
So then there was a question mark over whether or not these events were going to take place, because they're set to start this week for I think around a month straight. Right. So there was a big question mark over whether they were going to happen. It has come out today that they applied for a new certificate of lawfulness, and as far as Brockwell Live are concerned, these events are going ahead as planned.
But haven't the judge ruled against?
So the judge was just ruling against them overdoing it in terms of the number of days, because I think they were looking to use the park for longer than they were meant to. But I know it sounds like how I've described to you that it's just logical, of course, that all makes sense. But a lot of people have been finding fault with, basically, a lot of the arguments surrounding this is similar to when people are trying to not get Notting Hill Carnival to go ahead, where they're just it's too much noise, it's this, it's that. That to be said, there are some elements of this argument which I fully get, which are the environmental impact on the park for 28 days straight.
It's more just people being a fun sponge.
Yeah, and also the fact that they close off the whole park for when these events are taking place. And obviously the park is a public space, so people should still be able to use the park in some capacity whilst it's going on. So obviously doing that for an extended period of time, it's not really fair to the general public. But a lot of people have been coming back saying, what is this? If people don't like the fact that these events are happening, then maybe they should move, because it's a capital city. Things like this are going to happen. Another thing as well is that, like I said, the past couple of days, there was a really big question mark over whether or not these events were going to go ahead, literally days before they're about to take place. And it's just these festivals. City Splash, for example, is a celebration of black culture. They have lots of black-owned businesses and traders operating there. Mighty Hoopla, I know, is also linked to the LGBTQ+ community. All these festivals kind of have their own niche, which are sometimes obviously going into people from minority backgrounds. And I just think the fact that there was even a question that they could cancel this days before, when not even the fact that you're going to remove this cultural event, but also all the acts, all the people, all the freelancers that were employed to do this, the fact that they could have lost their job in that sense and they're actually considering doing that, that to me is wrong. I think ultimately what needs to happen is they need to plan ahead for next year. They should never have been a thing where they were it might not even go ahead this year. Do you know what I mean?
Is it an R&B festival?
It depends which one. City Splash, for example, it's not necessarily R&B, it's more just black music
or black origin so music. that's kind of, it's interesting because it's there are several festivals that happen literally up and down the country all summer, and I wonder why that is kind of getting a disproportionate, or what seems a disproportionate restriction. It kind of reminds me of I forgot what the notice was when they started shutting down black music venues.
Oh, Section 28 or something
there was a phenomenon where the kind of the local governments and councils and stuff literally just started shutting down black music venues, and it was black music venues that were disproportionately affected. And again, it was this idea of kind of keeping things,
because they were expecting there to be more trouble or more noise pollution
exactly. I was somewhere the other day, and literally I was filling up my car at the petrol station, and from across the road I could hear a venue with Unz Unz music, as though I was inside the venue, and it was to be frank, it was like white music, and I'm sure it was like a white, it was in a white neighborhood, and it was, you know. So my point is like, these things are here. These things like happen. People party, people go to festivals, people make noise. And it's interesting to see when that kind of thing is punished, who are the kind of, you know, the clientele.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously in this instance, there are, it's a number of festivals, not just City Splash. So,
Like, but a group of, from the same.
Yeah. So it's not just black music, like I said, My Tuple is obviously LGBTQ+, and there's a number of other festivals as well. But, the fact that that could have happened, I think, is just wrong, personally. But yeah, I do think that whoever's in charge of this does need to sort it out, because from what I've seen, it doesn't make sense for all of these festivals to happen, like, for a month on end, with like the impact on the park and
I do see that side as well. And like initially, before you give the context, I was like, I don't think that's an awful thing to have a restriction on. Like, if it does have a huge environmental and that kind of like public impact, then I do understand restrictions. But I think it's just balance, isn't it?
Exactly, which is why, like, I was like, it would be imbalanced for them to just cancel the whole thing, like, literally days before it's about to take part. Which thankfully, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. On the topic of My Tuple as well, though, I don't know if you've seen some of the backlash that has been receiving, because they basically have come under ownership by KKR. So My Tuple is part of Superstruct Entertainment, which is a company that owns and operates a large number of major festivals and events globally. Last year, Superstruct underwent a change in ownership, in which they were obtained by KKR, who are known for being unethical by having stakes in weapons manufacturing companies and Israeli corporations operating in occupied Palestinian territories. And obviously, when this was unveiled, people were saying, well, my Tuple, like, how can you do this, blah blah blah, like, obviously being quite disappointed. They released a statement, like, which was quite rounded, and they unequivocally, like, said that they stand with the Palestinian people, and they condone KKR as well. They condone Israel, they condone KKR.
Wait, but are they not in business?
But this is the thing, so this is what I want to, like, get your opinion on as well. So they're part of the statement said, whilst we cannot control agreements or investments made in our parent companies, we wish to state our clear opposition to KKR's unethical investments.
It's kind of like it's bad, but we're going to do it anyway.
But this is the thing that I've been kind of like, because I've seen other festivals which have kind of said a similar thing. When I was looking to this, I'm kind of like, if Mighty Hoopla in themselves are under contract to work under Superstruct,
right,
and it's Superstruct that are the people that are that are,
if it's a contract from beforehand, before they were made aware of certain affiliations and they can't get out of it, I'd understand. And in that situation, yeah, the least you can do is make a statement, make a donation. That's the least that you should be doing. But if it's a situation where maybe it's not so contractual, or maybe the contract has some leniency in terms of its terms or whatever, then I feel like they should like exploit that.
Yeah, I think that I agree with that, because I think one thing that I was seeing was that I think it would be a bit unfair if they are contractually obliged for us to be like,
because also it's kind of like, I think one thing that we've learned since October 2023 is how widespread this entire kind of like the enterprise of like the Israeli regime is, because it's like they have. And it's this conversation about when we're talking about, you know, boycotts and, you know, BDS at large. It's like, that's why I always tell people, like, what I do and what I would encourage people to do is just follow the BDS list, because we've learned how many companies across so many industries have some involvement with, like, not just Israel, but specifically kind of illegal activity, you know, so...
I think that's part of what BDS says, isn't it? It's like, we recognise that we can't boycott everything, so this is why we're telling
it's
you.
It's a targeted, like, movement. Yeah. So, you know, on that hand, I do think kind of like, if you start boycotting every single company or organisation that has anything to do with Israel, it's going to be ineffective. People will get like burnout, people will become disillusioned, you kind of lose, it's not going to be as effective rather than having like targeted movement. So I do think sometimes you kind of have to just grit your teeth and just just get on with it. Like, obviously boycott where you can, but like, you actually feasibly can't do anything because it's so widespread, it's so pervasive.
Yeah.
You can't.
It's so, like, with instances like, I think Google and Amazon, I think on BDS list, it says where you can use alternatives.
Right.
But it recognizes that obviously in this day and age, it can be hard to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'd say it's one of those things as well, where it's like, if they can and there's a way for them to do it, then obviously it should be expected for them to do it. But if, again, it's a contract, I don't think it's as black and white as that, like, okay, we should all just boycott Mighty Hoopla now. Like,
if Mighty Hoopla has a choice as to whether it collaborates with Superstruct,
right,
then yeah, then it should 100% make the decision, like, not to, yeah, that's on them. Like, yeah. Next thing, Chris Brown's locked up in jail in Manchester.
I find that hilarious. My sister was telling me that the Home Office apparently granted his application just to put him in jail, which I will not be on the side of the Home Office very often, but they might have did something with this one here. Generally though, I do find it really odd that people, that Chris Brown is a thing. Like, he is a known and out abuser. Like, it's not something that's like, oh, is it? It's a bit techie. It's a bit, you know, whatever. He is a known and out abuser. Mm. I don't understand how he has a platform that he does. And I know a lot of people are saying it now. I've genuinely always believed this. I don't listen to him. I don't support him. I don't follow him. Nothing. Like, I genuinely do not even listen to his music. And I don't understand how people do. I do not understand how people do. I don't believe he should ever have been given a platform. So the fact that he's now getting kind of reprimanded and punished. Listen, I am an abolitionist, but I'm not going to lie and say that I am not even slightly pleased.
And for it to happen in Manchester as well. Mad.
Can you imagine him in Salford with all, like, the Manc criminals, like, all the Mancunian criminals? He must be having the culture shock of his life.
I know, but realistically, he's going to be, like, in solitary thing. Like, they wouldn't put Chris Brown
with general population, yeah, true.
Realistically. True. But for context, the reason why he's locked up this time is because last time, so if we go years back, in 2000, like we said, he's got history of repeated abuse, which the first instance was actually Rihanna back in 2009. Mm. And following that, in 2010, when he applied to come to the UK to perform, the UK said, no, we're not letting you do that because of your violent offences. Mm-hmm. He was then banned from the UK for like a decade, and he was allowed to come back in 2022. Around a year later, he is allegedly involved in an instance at a nightclub in London where he smashes a bottle of tequila over a music producer's head.
This guy is a hoodlum. He is a menace.
He then leaves the country without, like, going to the police or anything. But then now, obviously, a couple years later, obviously comes back. For his new tour. So his new tour is set to begin on the 8th of June. However, he's been remanded in custody until the 13th.
Good luck in that tour.
So, and some people have said, oh yeah, he's come early because he knew this was going to happen. But it's just like...
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, he's not going to be in there for long, will he, really?
I don't know. Like,
what is it, like GBH? God, what is the UK's vendetta against Chris Brown? I mean, I back it, but I'm very surprised that this is one thing that they've decided to get right.
I don't know. Part of me does wonder if stuff like this, whether there is a racial element behind it.
Yeah, for sure.
Which that in itself is wrong.
Yeah.
But again, it doesn't excuse the fact that Chris Brown has repeatedly abused and beat people up. Like, right. I literally looked at the timeline of all of his offences.
It's crazy, isn't it? And
it's just so many instances of just frenzied attacks, whether they're towards like paparazzi, whether they're towards other musicians like Frank Ocean over a parking space, whether it's partners like Rihanna, Carucci, all of them, and it's just every couple of years it happens. And I did see that around a decade ago he was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, which obviously, if that is the case,
get help.
but it's like, sure, we can attribute it towards that, but at the same time, like, the fact that it's still happening in such great capacity.
I know people with bipolar disorder, they're not going around beating people up. It's one of those ones where it's like, just get the help.
Well, no, I don't think that we can, like,
divorce it, of course. Yeah, that probably, like, he's obviously not well.
Yeah.
He's obviously not well.
But he's obviously got money. So use that money to get the right amount of help, especially when I was reading it and I was like, it's always the same type of thing, like someone doing something that he doesn't quite like, which he then freaks out with them about.
Yeah.
Which again, with paparazzi, for example, I don't understand, but I can imagine how frustrating that must be as a celebrity. But when you've already got in trouble before for beating up someone from the paparazzi, surely
the behavior is a symptom of something for sure.
Yeah.
But doesn't make it all right, especially when it's in the context of like domestic violence.
Yeah. It was funny though. I looked up obviously about this and I saw a petition online from 2018, whilst Chris Brown was still banned from the UK. And it only had like less than 100 like signs. But in the reasons for like category, the person had put, I've based this on my love for Chris Brown and information from that I've got from the Daily Mail.
Oh my god.
I was like, great reference.
Oh my god, people are crazy.
Yeah. Ultimately, I think he obviously deserves to be held accountable for his actions. But I will say, it's a shame, I think. It's a shame that someone with so much, because he has got talent. He's a good singer. He's a good dancer. He really could be he could be such a respected figure.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Obviously, he is lucky. All these people following around for him,
like, rightfully so. Like he could be loved, like in earnest.
Yeah,
not in spite of the fact that he's an abuser.
Yeah,
but you know.
Yeah.
Because he's talented.
It's a great loss, ultimately. But this is the reasons why when people are arguing, like, oh, let him out. Like, everyone makes mistakes. He can learn. Well, he hasn't learned, clearly.
Yeah.
Look at his track record.
He doesn't learn.
And I think, ultimately, he needs to obviously start facing the consequences for his repeated actions.
Yeah.
As a quick note as well, obviously, this week, I don't know what was in the air. We had Chris Brown in prison. Tory Lanez not having a good time in prison.
Yeah.
He had DDG getting restraining order. He was the ex-partner of Halle Bailey. And also,
that was also crazy. Like,
yeah.
That is the things that come out. Like, it's crazy. Domestic violence is just such a, I don't know if it's, I'm struggling for words. But,
and Diddy as well, obviously.
Yeah, so. And there's all of these high profile cases of, like, you know, domestic abuse and violence and or like just misogynistic abuse against women, and I'm like, what? I was gonna say, what the fuck is going on? I guess it's always been there. I don't know if it's like a rise because of, you know, like red pill culture, or if it's like just high profile cases because of like social media that we're seeing. I don't know what it is, but it's disturbing.
I think ultimately the reason why it seems like such a shock as well is because it's like people are actually being held accountable this week. I don't know what's happened.
Right, yeah, people are going, yeah, that Diddy thing is terrifying to me. Like, the more that comes out from that case, the more I'm like, literally, it genuinely makes me like shudder. Like, it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
I think also it's just sad to see some people that have commented saying, oh, if I was Cassie's husband, then I would divorce her. I couldn't be with her after this. Right. And it's just like,
well, you're not. You're not, and you never would be.
You're not, you never would be. And also, like, I really hope that by the time you find someone and settle down with someone, you actually understand what it means to be with a person. And
to be a fucking decent human being. Like, how can anyone have any reception but, like, just heartache and, like, compassion for what that woman went through is crazy.
Yeah, and it's this thing of, like, oh, because she's gone through this thing, she's written off. Like,
it's just purity culture, just crazy. Yeah.
Which is obviously, in this instance, it is completely impure, the things that we're hearing. Like, it is.
But not from her side, from here.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's horrific, but it's also
the shame isn't on her, the shame is on Diddy. Like, the shame is on the perpetrators.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I'm aware that we're coming to the end, so we need to round things off. Final thing, what's trending? Ginger people are black now, apparently.
What on earth is going on with that? You know what? I was watching a TikTok video yesterday. Like, I'd seen it on TikTok, people talking about it. And then I'd seen a compilation of, like, ginger people on TikTok coming forward. And they're, like, crying and they're so emotional. And they're, like, the love that we've gotten from the black community has been incredible. I've never felt this welcomed in my life. I've never felt this part of something in my life. And in the comments, someone literally commented, what the fuck do white people be doing to ginger people? Like, for them to be feeling like this, like, what the heck? What the hell have ginger people been going through?
This is the thing, right? Look, like, this started because some random TikToker who I'm not sure what they're doing, but they basically were saying it with all seriousness and implying that scientifically ginger people are black. Right. Then obviously it blew up and everyone, I think, started kind of taking the mix, saying, yeah, like, yeah, ginger people are black, because obviously ginger people get bullied for the way that they look. And kind of taking the piss with it. But then in the same instance, like you said, I have also seen people that are very really much taking it seriously,
yeah,
but also people kind of implying that they accept that they are, which I'm just like, hold on.
You're not.
Let's not get carried away with ourselves.
You're not, but it's crazy to me. Like, what are you not going through that this small joking level of acceptance is like, you're just rushing to it.
I think it might be quite an American thing, but I mean, it happens here as well. It's the same type of thing where it's like, obviously ginger people get like bullied in general for like having like pale skin, freckles, yeah, red hair. Like,
what's that, playground bullying, isn't it? It's like institutional, yeah, discrimination.
Yeah, obviously once you're grown up, I'm sorry, but like,
one's gonna be like, I'm not giving that person a job because they're ginger.
Exactly. So this is the thing where I'm kind of like, fair enough if you've got some childhood trauma, and I'm not trying to discredit that. Like, that's absolutely valid, and you need to like work yourself through that, whatever. I'm sorry that happened to you, and that needs to stop. However, please, like, don't get it twisted and start believing that you can actually equate the bullying that you went through with racism that black people face.
It's crazy. It's crazy, yeah. But I mean, they're just dying to be part of something, aren't they?
Yeah. Solidarity with ginger people, but then also
thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers, but know your lane. Know your lane. Yeah.
It's possible for like it to be like hashtag stop ginger abuse, whatever, without saying ginger people are black,
yeah,
with seriousness. So, right, to round things off, silver lining. That fire on the plantation in America.
Yeah.
No further comment. The end.
Bye, guys. See you next week.
Goodbye.